Welcome to Reinventions in Between, your go-to podcast for real stories of reinvention that happen between life stages, career changes, and living abroad. I'm Sara Coggiola, life coach, intercultural trainer, and reinventions facilitator, helping people on their quest to what's next. I have reinvented myself a few times, and in the past 16 years, I have collected fascinating stories of change. In each episode, my guests will talk about why and how they took the leap and seized the opportunity to change their life. Let's begin.
So then at the end of my year off, and I just realized I started having nightmares, and I actually took notice of them. I was like, no, something's going on. If I'm having nightmares about going back to work, it means it's not right. I was stuck, and I just literally just went, okay, I've got this qualification. Fuck it. I'm going to start my own business.
Welcome, everyone. I'm very happy today to be joined by Zoe Baranowski, who worked in the corporate world for many years, and then she moved forward with a new stage of her life and became, after retraining, a reflexology therapist. She owns the Reflexology Studio in Elsterwick, a suburb in Bayside, Melbourne, where we are now sitting. Welcome, Zoe.
Thank you, Sara. Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
You know, I didn't tell you last time that we spoke that I was always fascinated in my youth about fashion.
No, you didn't.
I just wanted to work in fashion. I didn't know doing what. That's crazy. But yeah.
I'm so curious to turn the tables on you, but that's not the forum for this. But like, why did you want to work in fashion?
That's my way of wanting to be part of something that I like and enjoy and appreciate. But as I told you, I didn't know which profession I would be doing, maybe choosing photos or selecting. Well, I never thought about fabrics, and you will be explaining about fabrics. And that's another amazing big world. But I really just loved how art could be put in a dress and worn from a person. I felt that creativity all around.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that I do love about fashion is creating something so beautiful. In fact, a team of people creating things that's beautiful, that make people feel good. And that it is a work of art in itself. And also, I just think there's so much that goes behind producing a product. It's absolutely fascinating. You know, you've got, you know, if you're talking about fashion, you've got the fabric side of it, the garment tech side of it, the shipping, the manufacturing, the designing, the marketing, pricing, store layout, everything. You know, it's a real team effort. And if one part doesn't work, it can all sort of not work.
It's a big industry for sure. And it's a money machine.
It is a money machine, yes.
Burnout machine.
Burnout machine, a money machine, an everything machine.
Sorry, I did spoil a bit the introduction of what was your past. So what I wanted to.
Yeah, well, obviously, a bit of a giveaway. I used to work in fashion. So I used to be a fabric sourcer, fabric technologist, fabric specialist. And it was something that I trained. I did a degree in and then had the opportunity to go into medical textiles or fashion. For me, it was a no-brainer. Absolutely just adored fashion. And it's a career that I was in for pretty much 20 years, working my way up from the beginning. I was very lucky. I started the industry when we still had manufacturing in the UK and a lot of manufacturing in Europe. So a lot of my expertise came from visiting fabric mills all around the world, in Italy, Portugal, Spain, Bulgaria, Morocco, Scotland, Leicester, Hong Kong, China, the whole of Asia. And so as my career developed, I actually was very lucky to, I spent a lot of time in China, but also I was very lucky to have the opportunity to live in Hong Kong for a couple of years. where it very much felt like sort of it was just a new frontier. I was just out there by myself doing my thing, you know, creating relationships, finding new fabrics, finding mills and factories that were suitable for the companies that I worked with, and then liaising all of that information back to the UK. It was a dream job. I mean, I loved my job. You know, my friends in the UK were always like, oh, it doesn't matter that you got no money. So you love your job. It doesn't matter you're so poorly paid. You know, you travel around the world, you're passionate about it. And I was. So I don't quite understand how I changed career or why I changed career. And if I talk about that previous career, everyone's like, oh my God, the best job in the world, you know, science, people, fashion, travel, exploring, relationship building. Yes, it was. But something happened that I suppose made me realize it wasn't enough. I was never the job. I haven't really thought this through properly. It is with all companies. I think it was the company. It was the realization that I couldn't make a difference, that I had all this experience, that I could see a way forward. I could see the way that we could work differently. I could see trends. And yet the final say didn't come down to me. Mm. And so it was incredibly stressful. I was probably close to burnout, working a lot of hours for something that we couldn't really make a difference in, and working for somebody else. And I just knew I was unhappy. I think the environment, the company that I worked for, just wasn't right for me. I didn't thrive in it. It was definitely not the right mix. And that's got a huge amount to do with it. And I didn't really want to come to Australia in the first place. Mm. I came for my ideal job, which didn't quite work out how I wanted it to. I also came in here to sort of improve my relationship. My father was living over here, improve my relationship with my father, which didn't quite work out. My sister was here with her two or three children over in Perth. They're all in Perth in Western Australia. So it was wonderful that I saw them in a lot of ways. But again, I think I was just on a soul searching journey to feel more, I don't know, worthwhile, more complete in myself. But all of this was running underneath the surface. I didn't quite know what was going on. I remember having a conversation with my friends in the UK just saying, I am miserable. I'm, you know, got this job. It's not really what I want to do. All I want to do is own a little hotel in the country, do reflexology and make cheese.
Aww.
And they're like, that is all I've ever wanted to do. But now I want to do a much grander version of that. But, you know, hey ho. and, you know, I'd had 20 years of reflexology, but only in Asia. I'd never tried Western style reflexology. I've got the idea of, I just love goats and goat's cheese because my auntie used to have goats in Wales in the UK. I don't know why I wanted to run a hotel. Just one of these things I want to do. I think it's a hospitality, it's a caring, it's a nurturing for people. It's creating environments where people feel special. And that's one thing that, you know, my role in fashion did do. You know, that's one thing that fashion does do. It makes people feel special.
There are all the ingredients of a recipe that wasn't written yet.
Yes, absolutely. As I'm verbalizing it now, without doing prep work or thought, it's just like, oh, it's so obvious now, isn't it? But anyway, my friends were like, just shut up, you've got the best job in the world, you live in Australia, there's all the sunshine, it's not like the UK, just go and do a weekend reflexology course, go and do a weekend cheese making course, live life. And so I did. I went and did a weekend reflexology course, and it was very interesting, loved it. And I actually had a vision while I was there, not into visions at all then, very different now, but this vision where I was doing reflexology as a career. I was like, okay, let's ignore that. next week went to work, but it was just like, oh no, I do really like this reflexology thing. And so I found a part-time course that was on Sundays down in Werribee, 18 months. And because I wasn't traveling to the extent that I used to, I had a lot more time to do that. So every Sunday went off down to Werribee, learned about reflexology. And through doing that, it's actually just like having the most amazing personal therapist, because reflexology shifts stuck emotions in your body. So every week, you know, I was having a reflexology treatment. Every week I was learning about reflexology, learning about health, learning about wellness, learning about energy, learning about the body, nutrition, aromatherapy, you know, Reiki, everything. And so once you learn certain things, you can't go back. Or you can sit there with it, but you just sit in pain. You either have to move forward. Well, you have to move forward. There's no other choice, or your body does something. So you have to move forward. And I think I just came to a realization that I needed to change something. And I didn't know what that was going to be. So I was very lucky. I was in a situation where I got a little bit of inheritance from my grandmother, so I could take a year out. So I took a year out, finished my reflexology studies. I took a year out because I just wanted some fun. I wanted to work out where I wanted to live in the world. I was, you know, I've always been a bit of a workaholic, work too hard. I wanted to, you know, find a husband, get married, have a baby, not in a year, but, you know, the beginnings of it. So those seeds. I was getting older, very old. So I took my year off and I enjoyed myself. I finished my reflexology. I did a massage course just because I could. I was never doing any of this with a career in mind. Ever. This was just my year. Everyone else has gone off and had babies. This is my baby, pregnancy growing. You know, pregnancy is all about ideas or growing something. I suppose in some way, maybe this was my pregnancy year. Birthing. Oh dear, yeah.
Absolutely. It's amazing how, I was going to ask you a question to try to define this moment, and you just came with the answer.
Yes. So then at the end of my year off, I was like, right, what's going to happen? Where am I going to be? Do I go back to the UK? Do I go to Asia? Do I have to go to Bangladesh? You know, and I just realized I started having nightmares, and I actually took notice of them. I was like, no, something's going on. If I'm having nightmares about going back to work, it means it's not right. And I didn't want a big job managing teams of people in something that all you're doing is firefighting. You're not really being able to make a huge difference. So I didn't think you could. So I was stuck, and I just literally just went, okay, I've got this qualification. Fuck it. I'm going to start my own business. I didn't think about finances. I didn't think about strategy or business. I knew perfectly well if I sat down, analyzed it and looked at it, it didn't make financial sense. You know, my energy would be going into one-on-one work, wouldn't be able to survive, but I didn't think about it and I just did it. And that was 10 years ago.
Well,
10 years ago in August.
So yes. We're going to celebrate.
I think it was the 27th of August, 2013.
No, I can't believe it.
Yes. Oh, my God. That will be a 10-year celebration. Time to take another year off, I think.
I can't imagine what you will grow into with another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is so exciting. The future is very, very exciting. But yes, I just took a leap of faith without thinking. And I think that's action. Action is probably the one thing that stops us all doing things. Mm. So if you think about something for too long, if you think about all the reasons why it can't work, you never do it. Mm. And that's why so many people don't leave their jobs. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily recommend to do things the way that I did it, but it all worked out, you know, and I could do the massage. So I did a lot of corporate massage. I also did 3 short-term gigs back in fashion to keep some money going in. So I didn't jump ship completely. You know, I went back in, earned a bit more money, and then went back out again. And it was a slow process. I must admit, I was very lucky. I didn't ever not have any client. I've never really done any advertising. People just come to me. And then I started off doing a lot of massage. And then with time, I cut that down. I don't do any massage anymore. In fact, I subcontract other people out to corporate massage jobs, corporate reflexology, corporate massage, corporate meditation, and now EFT tapping and matrix re-imprinting. So my career has grown, and I'm not going to say I've absolutely loved it. It's been terrifying. It's been stressful. It's been financially scary. I have wanted to go back into security, corporate and fashion, so much, but I haven't, because I knew, because every time I did a short-term stint back, I realized why it was time to leave, why it wasn't right for me. You know, I would never say I wouldn't go back, but I'm not a specialist anymore. And, you know, and it's just so different from going from having a team of people and having support systems all around you, going to having to work on your own where you have to do everything, you know, the marketing, setting up, all the accounting, everything. You have to believe in yourself. You have to discipline yourself. And it takes a lot of time and effort.
And then covering many roles without having, with having still 24 hours a day.
And to this day, it's my job that takes up the majority of my mind. It's one of the most difficult things, switching off.
And you're an amazing, you're also an amazing guest. I didn't ask any questions. You just went to cover all my questions.
I don't know what's happened today. I'm just talking. And hopefully it'll go in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, you said so many interesting things. So absolutely. What happens often for people who leave the job and they were in a career that implies to be in corporate, working with other people and teams, and they start entrepreneur business. It's very scary. It's very tricky, difficult, challenging, because for exactly what you said, you have to do everything on your own. And before we are able to outsource, we need to have funds and resources to be able to do that. But we often have the beginning time where we need also to prove to ourselves that the business is the one that we want to keep doing, that the market is going to respond to what we want to offer. So there's a lot of trial period that we need to consider and accept. And many people get discouraged in a very short time and they are not patient. And everyone I talk to and I interview on the podcast, in the end, when I ask, what would you recommend or suggest to your younger self? Everyone says to be patient and to trust. And because this is one of the main reasons why so many business fail at the very beginning, because people don't consider that maybe it would need from 2 to 5 years to be able to understand that what you have put in place can work in a given market, in a specific country, in a specific time. If we just think about after the pandemic, we had so many new business flourishing, entrepreneurial business, because lots of people have been made redundant, or they realized that actually working from home or remotely was doable, especially women.
Yeah.
So there was just a big, great shift in how we think and perceive. And I think this is also important for everyone to listen and understand that we are capable of doing things differently. We just maybe are scared, or we think that the way things have gone for so many years is the only way.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, those two key points are what stop people doing everything. Belief systems and fear. And I think, you know, I would say that probably maybe even until the last couple of years, I've been running a lot of my business through fear. Because, and also through not knowing what else I can possibly do. It didn't mean, I love reflexology. I love doing what I'm doing, but it took me probably 3 to 5 years to really believe in myself, to really understand that I perhaps I've got a gift, but this is something that people want. And actually, in today's world, compared to 5 years ago, this is what people need and want even more. You know, I remember when I first started social media, I used to have a little hashtag saying, you know, the reflexology revolution. Or because, you know, reflexology in Australia is very underused or not very well known, where in the UK it's used a lot more. But what it is, it's just a place where you can just stop and reconnect with your body, and your body can do the healing. And in today's world, we just don't do that. We are just so constantly busy.
I would like to quote yourself. You said before that you were not listening to yourself. Just definitely. No, we're not, I'm not doing reflexology as a career, but actually using the reflexology is starting listening to our body.
Yeah, absolutely. And I
as a client and receive this type of therapy.
And I was going to say, I think I've finally worked out what my purpose and what my mission is. It's only taken me 10 years.
People never knew in life. So you're already ahead of so many people.
Exactly. And also it can change and it will change. And that's absolutely fine. It's perfect for what it is right now. And it's just about helping people connect with themselves. And so that they're able to realize what they really want to do and to help them with their first steps on that journey. And I do this through reflexology. I do it through EFT tapping. I do it through meditation. I do it through holding workshops, but just to be able to hold space for people so that they can create awareness and connection with themselves is just a joy. And it was quite interesting because in a previous conversation we're having, and this conversation is quite different from that one, we're talking about the career, you know, the realization that our careers that we have often stem through, I suppose, our voids or our wounding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I definitely know that in the reflexology side of things, it's all around, you know, nurturing others or giving people, allowing people to have self-connection and nurture. And that's definitely something that I would say that wasn't there in my early childhood. And so it's very clear to me now why I've become a reflexologist and why I work in the way that I work. It's about encouraging people to find their voice.
That's so beautiful.
Yes, there's
absolutely a trend now, I would say, of people going into well-being professions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not just a fashion trend in the sense of there's more meaning into that. More people are becoming more aware of that need that is important for themselves and for the others as well, because all these are professions where you give back and you support and nurture others to feel well. But it's also, I've noticed in all the people that I interview and that I meet through this project, many have reinvented or retrained or changed their career while they were trying to heal themselves and they had an issue. And there is clearly a pattern. An important one, like another pattern to me, very surprising, but not so surprising, is that many people want to reconnect with creativity. And so they might go back to pick one of their talent or their passion, like painting or making jewels or whatever makes including and involving creativity. So I like with this project to highlight some of the interviews, some of these reinvention stories with a few gems and let the listener know that we are all going through change in life and life is not linear. So it would be important for everyone to be aware, as you said before, to be more tolerant and accept those changes are coming to us for a reason.
Yep.
And I love the fact that you say the body, you said that we were not listening to ourselves, but the body then
makes it happen. Because I think if I hadn't taken my year out, you know, I might have got seriously sick. I might have got a form of cancer because, you know, it was high stress. It was a lot of work. I was going out a lot. I was drinking a lot. My sleep was poor. And, you know, probably been like that for years and years and years and years. And I think through the reflexology, I have learned so much more about nutrition, health, and also the last 10 years have been a massive healing journey and a healing journey that I've been fighting against. I feel as if I've been going, you know, one step forward, four steps back. Okay, the last 2 years, again, have been very, very different, moving forward at quite a rapid pace. But I think one of the gifts of this new career has been allowing me to just grow and learn without external pressure and make all these mistakes, do amazing things, make more mistakes, but really just they've allowed me to grow and heal. And I've been through a journey a real journey. And, you know, and that journey gives me more understanding to be more empathetic for my clients. It gives me wisdom. It gives me stories that I can tell my clients. It gives me encouragement. It gives me a wider understanding, and it teaches me about not trying to be so judgmental. Like, it's built, you know, with my, say my fashion career, my textiles career, my fabric career, whatever, my previous career, you know, I was doing that for 20 years. So I'm not saying I was at the top of my game, but I had a lot of knowledge. And then now I'm 10 years into this career. So again, I'm building up. I can only do what I do so well now because I've had the 30 years experience.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You are touching a very important point here that I say in nearly every episode, that we, when we decide to change career or profession or project or invent anyway, we don't throw everything that has been our past out the window. Mm. But on the contrary, those are our foundations.
Yeah.
And we bring our skills and competencies from before into the new us. And we just use them as new ingredients in different way. And as you said before, now you're also an EFT tapping therapist. Is it correct? Therapist?
Yep. That's so, correct.
And then you studied for massages and nutrition. It really becomes generative on how exponentially people progress in their knowledge. And you're just building up. You're never going back. And on top of that, you also have your own personal journey and your personal growth that you never considered before. Yeah. And it makes you such a new and more whole person, I would say, when you go through these changes. And to go back a little bit, the data you were talking before about burnout, its numbers are extremely scaring because the growth year and year in percentage of people who experience burnout in everyone in the world, but in, especially in corporate or employed job, is increasing 35%, which is a lot. And this makes me think that the modern world is too complex and is making us sick. And we have to go probably back to something more simple and try to listen to our body. And I'm very happy and glad that professions like yours allow us to really harness again our own life, take control and decide. For those who really understand and want to make a change.
Yeah, because reflexology gives you an opportunity. I mean, lots of therapies do, but just to, you know, to create a moment of stillness and to filter out, you know, all these noises and just to hear what, you know, your mind is saying, what your body is saying, you know, you step out from the session so much more sort of energized and focused, you know, with a sense of clarity. And I know that sounds ridiculous to say all of that just from massaging somebody's feet. But often in the sessions that I do, we might talk about issues that are coming up, and then I'll use my belief work, my counseling training to sort of just gently prod and see what comes to the surface and see what conclusions my client might come to.
That's amazing. How many tools do you have now in your invisible?
Oh, lots and lots. I mean, one of the best parts is that I like to go, I like to travel. So I use that as an opportunity to train. Mm. So if there's the course going on elsewhere in the world, you know, nothing like just jumping on a plane, pre-COVID, so that, you know, you could just go and get some extra training.
That's amazing.
Yes, it is. I've been very lucky, very blessed with the experts that I've learned from around the world. Mm. But then saying that, during COVID, people were doing a lot of online learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's amazing how you can learn practical craft online. I didn't think it was possible, but it is.
Oh, good to know. Yep. So this would encourage many people who want to start something that they quite don't know if doing it remotely. Because now one of the silver lining, there are so many about the pandemic. I can quote nearly one at every episode. Making learning accessible in so many ways, thanks to technology and shortening the distance, then of course you can, you can have more opportunities to closing the gap locally with people on the field. Exactly. So you're making those connections as well from global to local, and having those opportunities, I think it's really a plus. And opportunity, jumping at opportunities, is another recurrent theme that I talk about in the podcast episodes. I believe everyone knows what reflexology is, but maybe do you want to explain quickly?
A lot of people don't know what it is.
Exactly.
When I have conversations with people, they just look at me blankly, or they just nod and pretend that it is.
Well, maybe they don't deepen. But would you like to give a few words about both reflexology and EFT tapping, please?
So reflexology is a very specialized form of massage, and it works on the basis that every part of our body is reflected in our feet. So when we're working on the feet, we're actually connecting through meridians, through energy lines, and just through increasing the circulation. We're connecting with every part of the body, trying to bring it back into homeostasis. So I work sort of I work on three different levels. I work on the physical level. So if you've got tight neck and shoulder, I work on parts of the feet that actually physically release those muscles. And then I work emotionally on the metaphysical level. So any pain that comes up in our body, emotional or physical pain, or emotional pain comes from, or malfunction of our body comes from, I believe it comes from an emotional meaning or an emotional belief that we're carrying. So different organs correspond to different belief systems. So through working on the feet, everything feels, you know, different organs, different parts of the feet feel different. So therefore, I might bring up conversations, you know, perhaps around anger, if it's to do with the liver, or if it's kidneys, more about fear. And then I work on the sort of energetic and foot reading side of things. So again, everything is energy. Emotion is energy. When we think and feel things, the energy moves through our body. It can get stuck, and that's where, on a chemical level, it changes how our body functions, and that's where we get sickness and illness. So the reflexology, through just the simplicity of massaging, increases our circulation, moves our energy around, helps our hormones flow, everything balances, and we become more balanced. Mm. And when we're balanced in homeostasis, our body can naturally heal itself. And also, your feet show how you think and feel about yourself right now. Mm. If you look at your feet, your toes are different between your left and your right. One day your feet might be redder, they might be more yellow, other areas might throb. And I can read this. I've been taught how to read and interpret this with all these metaphysical meanings. So I get an idea of how you feel about yourself. Now, I don't necessarily talk to my clients about this. Mm. This is information that I use with what they're saying so that I can give them the best treatment that's going to work for them. So I want to look at my indication of areas to focus on. Oh, you know, if you're right, if you're on your toes, on your right foot, if your toe next to your little toe is quite bulbous and round, you'll be a hoarder. And depending on what toe it is, you might be an emotional hoarder, or you might be a physical hoarder.
We have to. Yeah. You have to have a look to my feet and check. I'd love to have your treatment again soon.
Yes, well, feel free to book in.
Yes, absolutely. And what about EFT?
Yes. And just one other thing with the reflexology is that we, this is just really important because it affects everybody. We are, all of us are constantly living in a state of stress now, fight or flight. You know, the phone's always going, emails are coming through, and our nervous system is just switched on into fear. And so reflexology, what it does is it calms down the whole nervous system. And so for just moments or 45 minutes, we just drop into a deep, deep state of relaxation, which is something that we very rarely get into these days. And so it's just beautiful to come in and just feel everything just stop and slow down. Because we automatically go into stress. We actually have to make a, we have to make an effort to actually step into relaxation. So doing reflexology is one way to do it. And now EFT tapping is, well, I mean, it's not really that different from reflexology, except it's not working on the feet. Mm. Reflexology is somatic feeling, moving energy through the body. It's somatic healing. EFT is very similar. EFT works on the basis that we feel when we feel something, when we feel some sort of trauma, we'll say negative emotion, our body reacts internally. We feel it in our body. And that shows that the imbalance is energetic and in our body. And so using meridian points and modern simple psychology, NLP, we actually tap on the feeling and we use words sort of talking about the negative issue, and then we reframe it and we just tap it out. So we help shift that emotion, and it actually reframes and resets and rewires our brain.
Oh, wow.
So it is almost like a different version of reflexology.
Hmm.
Looking at the energy, shifting it through the body and clearing it. And it's amazing for physical pain, addictions, allergies, limiting beliefs.
Wow.
Absolutely everything. And I do a special version of it called Matrix, where we're honing in to the belief system around why I think trauma happened. So if there's, you know, we're using the word trauma very widely. It doesn't necessarily mean awful things, but so whatever happened, every time something happens, we create a belief around ourselves and other people. And often these beliefs are formed very early on, and unbeknownst to us, we are actually creating actions that are really sort of setting these beliefs in place. You know, it all boils down to not feeling good enough, not being worthy, everything like that. And so the EFT and the Matrix work reduces those beliefs so that when we approach something, we think about it from a much more positive aspect, and it allows us to take action into the direction we really want to be going, into that connection with ourselves. So it all goes back to creating connection with ourselves and listening to it, and helping give people tools so that they can step forward into how they really want to live.
Oh, wow. So many tools we all can access to, and
which is simple, very simple.
Simple.
Where you don't necessarily need to be living through all the pain.
Without side effects.
It's just like, well, you know, let's bypass all the pain of it and just look at the belief work.
Wow.
You know, psychology is absolutely amazing. And I've done a lot of talking psychology in my life. And I think it has a very important place. But sometimes with some therapists, you're just saying the same thing every week, or the same story, or a different version of the same story. And all that's doing, unless your psychologist manages to, or therapist manages to change that, is you're just making that trench deeper. You know, you're ingraining that belief pathway, that thought process. I want to look at, or what I look at and lots of other people look at, and good therapists, is, okay, well, that's that, but let's look at what you made it believe. Let's switch that around. And we don't even need to talk about what actually happened. We just talk about, okay, you made it believe that. Is it true? No. Now, what do we do to move on?
Mm-hmm.
And by resetting the brain into the new belief, or the more positive belief, it allows us to take small steps of action. Those small steps of action create new brain pathways, so we're less likely to go back to what we used to.
This is so fascinating. So fascinating. I'm in complete awe.
A-W-E.
I could just listen to you for hours, but I bet it's best to come and try
a session.
Absolutely. People can find you at thereflexologystudio.com, and I will leave all the links in the show notes also, because you are organizing very interesting workshop as well, not just
I work in conjunction with my osteo at Appy Movement, so we did an amazing workshop a couple of weeks ago called Move Out of Stress. So it was all about meditation, movement, it's simple tools to help you move out of stress, meditation, movement, breath work and EFT tapping.
Oh, wow.
And then this coming Sunday, we're doing a vision board workshop, okay. Vision board with a difference. So again, through movement, we're shifting stuck energy, meditation, we're clearing the mind. Then I'm helping you tap into your subconscious, where we do journaling. And from that, we do the fun, creative vision board. So again, it goes back to this whole thing about helping you connect with yourself so you can see what you really want to do and then taking steps towards manifesting it, making it come true.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And you can find information about that on my website. Well, actually, no, not on my website, but on my Insta, the Reflexology Studio _.
_. I will put that link in the show notes as well. Perfect. Can I ask you just one last question?
Lots,
I
know. Yeah. Ask away.
I love to ask this question to people. You remember the movie Sliding Doors?
What was my sliding door moment? Would it have been doing the weekend reflexology course? Or I always think, what happens if I'd done my cheese making course before my reflexology course? Which is actually quite, because I want to start my cheese journey now. Not in terms of becoming a cheese maker, maybe just a cheese taster. I just want to go to lots of cheese farms all around the world. They're not called cheese farms, but
I love cheese. I will come with you then.
Yeah, I don't know what my sliding doors moment is. Maybe
it doesn't have to be. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. I don't think it's a moment. I think it's lots of things. I think for me, at the moment, it's just every time I take a step forward, I take an action and I step out of fear or do something that I want to do, but I might have been too scared to or put too much judgment on myself.
Mm,
every time I do something like that, it's a mini sliding doors moment.
Beautiful. Lovely. I'm always forever grateful for everyone who comes on the show and shares all the knowledge, all the insights, and all the process, sometimes challenging or painful, but always so rich, what the experiences for them has been. Listeners are always inspired and they learn, they relate. And that's why I'm so passionate about this project and I love what you all are doing. It happened to me as well, of course. Otherwise, I would have not started this this podcast. I had to reinvent myself many times, more than once. And who knows what will be next. Turning 50 next year. I can change again.
You can change again. Absolutely.
It's so hilarious, exhilarating, feeling this opportunity, which is not easy. Not always is not magic. It's not always financially viable. But we have this opportunity and this is important enough, I think.
And I think if you're doing something because you love it, because it's true for you to do, I mean, things don't have to be financially viable necessarily. They could just be hobbies and you do things because they bring you joy.
Absolutely, yes.
And, you know, that joy will bring you financial, I don't know. It's all to do with energy and the laws of the universe. But if you're doing what you really love, the world will find a way to financially support you so that you can keep on doing it.
Absolutely. As you said before, you always had clients. And I truly believe, like, when you go into a shop, another example, you go into a clothes shop, normally you want to buy the dress that the person selling it is wearing because it's in the same for us. We attract the people that we want to work with. And if we are true believer of what we're doing, it really just express out of ourselves and we reach the right people. And to what you were saying before, I think it's truly important to also think that it doesn't have to have a financial return anyway. Because it could also be volunteering for a cause. That's so important. And what I've been doing the past 4 years, and especially the 2 years during pandemic, for me was just volunteering for a not-for-profit organization supporting families abroad. And that for me meant a lot. And I was aligned to what I'm doing in so many ways. So definitely. And kept me going. I was contributing, making an impact on others and on myself as well. So it was important. Well, thank you so much, Zoe.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. And I really hope I haven't just blabbered too much and have said something that might help or inspire somebody to just take the step forward that they want to do, or, you know, have that moment of belief and just, or to tap in, tune in to their intuition, to what they really want to be doing.
Yes, definitely. For sure. Thank you. Those who are listening, you can send us comments. We always love to hear what you think, what you like about the episode. You can also leave a message, record your voice. If you're looking onto listening to the episode from the website, www.between-cultures.com. Under the podcast section, you find all the episodes and you can record your voice and leave us a comment, or you can answer the poll if you listen on Spotify. So many places where you can listen and read about those amazing stories. Thank you so much, everyone. See you next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Now, I want to hear from you. What's your number one takeaway from my conversation with my guest? We would love to hear your comments. You'll find all the links in the show notes. If you're curious about reinvention, go download my free guide, Your First Steps. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you never miss the opportunity to spark curiosity and get inspired on how you can navigate change in your own life.